Can I ask you to do something that's a little bit unusual? You've never done it before. Can we spend the next 2 or 3 minutes just in silence before the Lord? Shall we? Just turn our hearts before the Lord, okay? And then just be quiet for a couple minutes and just poke our hearts on the Lord Himself. Because this last concluding session may be very critical. So let's just be before the Lord. Jesus, we want to be very conscious that we are before you. You are in the midst of us, and you are indwelling in his heart. We want to honor you as our Lord, as our Master. We do desire to cultivate a life that reflects who you are. Thank you for speaking to us these past few days. We thank you for many hearts have responded. And now we pray that there will be a persistency, steadfastness, believing you, looking to you, wait upon you, not just to begin the work, but to finish it, that your heart truly may be satisfied. So we thank you again for this last session. We can be together. Make this next half an hour or so count for you. And to you we give all the praise and all the glory. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. It's not easy for me to say what I feel the Lord has laid in my heart, but I have to say by the Lord's grace. If Marianne is correct, and I think she's correct, this must be close to the 20th year of Young People's Conference. And thank God he has been speaking to us all these years. But the theme of this year is very special. Very special. It's not just understanding. It's just not knowing. But it's all about how we're going to practice it. That's what really matters. It's our walk. But you know, in John Gospel chapter 1, John the Baptist, first day when he saw the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." But the next day, when he and two of his disciples stood there and saw the Lord Jesus walking by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb." And two of his disciples left John and followed him. So in these 2 days of encounter of John the Baptist with the Lord Jesus, we see a very important principle. Redemption is not the end. Redemption is the beginning of a walk. Receiving life is not just to go to heaven. This life is to be worked out in us through our walk. And I can sympathize with Brother Jim. That one morning he wept, because he says his daughter did not grasp the significance of the reality of his walk. I thank God for this young sister. Realizing there's no reality in me means there's a longing for reality. Thank God for that. So this afternoon, I want to say a few words to you from my heart. Now, some of you, probably most of you, have heard Brother Stephen Kong. How many of you have seen Brother Stephen Kong ministering? Okay. Now, the past few years, every time we have a conference together, he always opened his time by saying, "We must treasure such time, because we have no certainty that we'll have another chance. Redeeming the time. Now is what counts. Not tomorrow. Now is what counts." So Brother Kong said, "There's no guarantee that we're going to have another conference like this next year here in Toronto. We may wish one. We hope the Lord grant us one. But we have no guarantee. We'll have another one." So there's an urgency of time. And I say, time is the framework by which I can work eternities into us. Time is grace. Time is God's mercy. Time is for God to fulfill ordinance in our lives, because we're living in time. So time is very precious. So redeem the time. The days are evil. You know, when man was created, Adam and Eve, if you look into the first two chapters of Genesis, the first word God spoke to man was a word of warning. Because God's love for man, He does not man to make the wrong choice. Therefore, He gives man's warning first. Beware how you choose. Choosing is God-given responsibility. Now, those who were in Richmond Conference, Brother Kwong said, when God gave us free will to choose, God take a real risk. Because there's a possibility we'll make a wrong choice. But thank God, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. He provided a way out for us. Even before He knew we would make the wrong choice. But nevertheless, the responsibility lies in our shoulders, how we choose. So, after man was created, the first word God to man was a word of warning. Don't choose the wrong tree, but choose the right tree. Now, warnings, we shy away. But young brothers and sisters, is necessary. If there's true love, there will be true warnings behind it. Now, the interesting thing is another warning. Just before they enter into Canaan, when they were at the border of Canaan in the land of Moab, the last few words of Moses to that whole generation that came out of Egypt, that lived through those 40 years, just before they entered into Canaan. And the Lord, Moses said, I lay before you life and goodness, evil and death. Choose this day which way you will go. Because they are at the border. They can either go in or they can refuse to go. So, brothers and sisters, the provision is there. But we can disqualify ourselves very easily by not listening and by not obeying. I never went to a conference like this last few days. The word obey mentioned so many, many times. Were you aware of that? Even in your devotional thing, this obedience is the key word. It's the key word. Because obedience and faith is the way, the only way to God's heart. There's no other way. So this morning in our prayer time, one brother opened up our prayer time and he said, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your absolute obedience to the Father's will. Now you think about that. Without His obedience, we will not be here today. There will be no redemption. There will be no salvation. There will be no hope for any one of us. It's because His obedience. He gained. And He conquered sin. And He gained us for Himself. Suppose you see obedient, Christ is the obedient one. And because He's obedient, the cross, church was built. And everything that God wants is secure through His obedience. There's no other way. Now, I think most of you have packed your Bibles away. Am I right? Only a few of you have your Bibles with you. Okay, so I want to turn to just one verse, a very short verse, but very precious. Okay, if you can find it. Okay, the third epistle of John. Okay? The third epistle of John. Just one short verse, verse 4. You find it? Okay. All right. Okay, the third epistle of John, verse 4. Okay, now the writer of this epistle is the same as the writer of the Gospel, John, and also the book of Revelation. And we are told that he wrote his epistle and Revelation and the Gospel of John at the end of his life is almost a century years old. So he was fully mature spiritually. So you can say that John's heartbeat was synchronized with God's heartbeat. He knew exactly what God wants. And so John wrote this to another elder, Gaius. Okay, let's read verse 4. Okay. These are a fatherly word of a person who has that fatherly image or love and concern. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You catch that? Let me read it again. Okay. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Apostle, that's God's expectation of us. Walk in truth. Okay, let me just share a few thoughts with you. Walk in truth means you walk with the Lord Jesus. You abide in Him. He abides in you. Just like Enoch, walk with God. A daily walk. It is a consistent walk. Doesn't matter what, they are always together. The abiding, remain. You never get out. You stay there for good. That's where you belong. That's where you belong, and that's where God will do the work. It's when you belong to God, then the real work begins. Many young Christians, they have the wrong understanding. If I'm in Christ, I'm already completed. I'm already perfected. Now, that is a wrong conception. It's when once you are put in Christ, the real work begins. As Dana said, once we are redeemed, then the process of the redemption goes on until we see face to face the Lord Jesus, until we are perfected. So there's a process. There's a walk. You know, Wednesday evening, after I shared those few words, his brother came up to me. He said, what's that we are heading on? What we're heading? We're aiming at? You know? Now, brothers and sisters, I hope you all see that. Once we are saved, then that qualifies us to reaching God's end. Did you catch that? It's when we are saved that qualifies us, equip us to reach God's end for us. Now, I just want to say a couple of words. Now, I always appreciate writing of Theos and Sparks. Because he gave you he enlarged your vision. He helped you see the greatness of Christ. He helped you see the greatness of that calling. He helped you see the greatness of that redemption. And of that purpose, glory that lies ahead, waiting for us. Walking worthy is making us worthy for that which is to come. We can possess it. It's a preparation to receive that worthy inheritance that lies before us. So you don't walk to walk. You walk with something in mind. Something in mind. There's a reward. There's a crown. Paul said, I know there's a crown waiting for those who love the Lord and wait for His appearance. There is something there. And we are all called unto that. And Paul said, that crown is not just for me, but for all those who love Him and wait for His appearance. So we are all included in this call. And so what Sparks says, he said, when we are in Christ Jesus, when God put us in Christ Jesus, we have no understanding, no thought of what we are coming to. Now you think about that. Because all the fullness of Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. Now can anyone figure God out? No one. And so when God put us in Christ, He made all that He is in Himself. He wants them to be real in us. And so, brothers and sisters, when we are put in Christ, we have no idea what we come into. It takes a whole lifetime and takes all through eternity just to discover what we come into. Now, you think about that. How great is our God? How big is our God? How rich is our God? And the one that Paul said is unsearchable. Unsearchable. No way we can figure out. No way. And all we know down here is but a fraction, a small fraction of what is that in store for us in the ages to come. Small. So what Brother Lan said, if that little bit is all that good, just imagine when you go into eternity. You think about that. You catch what I'm saying? If this life so blessed, so real, so joyful, sin forgiven, reconciled with God, all that wonderful, you know, and it's only a fragment of all that that's in store for us. And he said, when we enter into that eternity to come, you see, we have no idea what we come into. We have no idea what we come into. Okay, now this is no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Okay, walk in truth. Walk in Christ. Now I'm going to say some very important principle for young people to consider. First, I'll say something about the negatives. Then I'll say something about the positives. Now listen, the first. We have no idea how terrible sin is until we're in Christ Jesus. It is only when we are put in Christ Jesus we finally discover how terrible sin is. Now you catch what I'm saying? You catch what I'm saying? It's when we are in His holiness, put into Christ, the Holy One, sinless One, the perfect One, whom the Father pleased. It's when we come into Him, then we discover how terrible sin really is. Now, by way of sharing, you know, my son-in-law's stepfather right now is dying with lung cancer at the hospital right now. Any moment he can go. But unless you witness someone dying that terrible death, you have no idea how terrible cancer is. You don't know. Until someone in your family been through that, you have no sympathy for those who are agonizing under the disease, in the disease. So first, we cannot hate sin and realize how terrible sin until we are in Christ Jesus, because God, He is sinless. He cannot tolerate sin. See? And you cannot abide in Him, and there's a trace of what? Of sin in us. He deals with it. So, and how does He deal with sin? Through the cross. Now, cross is nothing sentimental. Cross is a sentence of death. It is judgment. No sympathy there. Sin? Die. The sin? Sentence and crucifixion. There's no sympathy. And God had no sympathy for sin. But yet He loves sinners. That's how we are saved. So, young brothers, you want to know sin, the nature of sin, the terrible sin? Put yourself in Christ Jesus. And then in Him, you will see the ugliness, true ugliness of sin. And many of us, we don't see the ugliness of sin. We tolerate sin. We entertain sin. Because we are not abiding in Christ. There's no truth in us. So we believe lies. So that has to do with our walk. Now, young brothers and sisters, it's hard to embrace truth because truth exposes our unreality. But without exposing truth, there's no true remedy. Unless we discover we're sinners, we will not seek for the Savior. There's no other way. So, walk in truth. And you discover the terrible, the awfulness of sin. And it's when you see the awfulness of sin, then you seek deliverance. You catch what I'm saying? Because when you say it's terrible, you say, I'll have nothing to do with it. But you don't see it's terrible, you still tolerate it. And that's what happened with many young people. We are not being delivered because we don't see the ugliness, the terribleness, because sin separates us from God and the end is death. It is that. And if you don't take it seriously, Pastor, may I say this to you? You cannot walk a way that's pleasing in His sight. There's no way. Now, second thing besides sin is our natural life. our self-life. Self-life is always against that of the Spirit. So in Galatians, say, walk in Spirit, not walk in flesh. Walk in flesh, you die. But walk in Spirit, you live. Do not obey the lust of your flesh. Obey the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to conclude my time very briefly with the next few thoughts. What did Jim share on this consciousness? Are you conscious of why you are saved? Are you really conscious why he called you? Are you conscious the place where you put you now? For what? For what? Are you conscious then? You see, consciousness is the beginning of entering into that reality by consciousness. Because consciousness comes to an understanding. It's not meant to understanding, but consciousness is something that happens inside. You can know something and not having the reality. But you can know nothing that possesses reality. Because it's something that takes place in your life. It changes your life. If what we hear does not change our lifestyle, my young boys is not good enough. There has to be a transformation. Inside out. We are saved. We are separated from the old. We are now in the new. There's no compromise. There's no back door. We have to face it. We have to face it. May the Lord have mercy on us. When I look at so many young brothers and sisters, and you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, but my concern for you, and as concern for myself easily, is the Holy Spirit has absolute sway in our life. If we call Jesus as Lord, what does that mean? It means we have to make Holy Spirit the master of our inner life. We must make the Holy Spirit our new life manager. Our life is now under new management. The Lord Jesus is enthroned in glory, but his lordship is literally experimented, carried out, and experienced by the way we obey and honor the resident boss, the Holy Spirit. So I want to just help you, my young brothers and sisters. Don't think about going to Russia. Don't think about doing a lot of works. The first thing comes first. In our lives, in our action, in everything we do, are we conscious in us, this resident boss, who's there ruling our lives from inside out? Are we living from that source, that life inside? Or our life is influenced by the external things. Now, I know many young sisters, when they want to buy clothing, they go to magazines. They watch television. Way back many years ago, the brother used to tease some of these young brothers and sisters. He said, you want to live a perfect, happy life, healthy, happy, beautiful life, all you need to do is watch your television and do what the television advertisements want you to do. You see what I'm saying? It's all influenced by external things. But we have no source, the Holy Spirit dwelling. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want to just encourage brothers and sisters. That listening, that cultivating sensitivity of your resident boss, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, is absolutely crucial in our spiritual walk. To walk worthy of him, the first thing is not what we do, but obey that Holy Spirit prompting, leading within. Paul said, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Walk begins from listening to the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's where it begins. If we don't begin with that, there's nothing there to follow. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm speaking very straightforward to you. Because your walk is not just important to yourself. Your walk is important to the one who loves you and called you. And saved you with his mighty grace. We are saved for him. We have to walk the way that's pleasing in his sight.
Now, if I don't share this, I cannot go home in peace. I will not be truthful to what the Lord has shown me. I will not be truthful to what I'm to you. I'll be lying to you. I'm not really helping you. I'm not really helping myself. So begin where it begins. The first step, recognizing in each of you, if you're the Lord's, you have a resident boss residing within. He is to guide you and tell you and direct you as to how you are to walk before him. Listen all the way. And that is greatly lacking. Not just young people and even older folks. I'm not speaking just yet, but all Christians, in general as a whole, they fail to honor their resident boss. And that's how we are so poor spiritually. That's how we are such a poor testimony. That's how we are poor children in our family. That's how poor we are. We have no witness to the outside world because we don't have that inside thing to show. You know, I wish I can weep some tears. You know what the need say? Don't share anything to brothers and sisters unless that word is convicting yourself first. If that word is not convicting me, I have no way of convicting you. There's no other way. And so John say, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Now, my young brothers and sisters, there's no greater joy in our God Father's heart to see all of us walking in truth. Truth exposes lie. Light exposes darkness. Christ is truth. He's our light. So young people, take what I share, few words to heart. This walk worthy of him begins by listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and obey. There's no other way. And begin with small things. Now when I say small things, what do I mean small things? Things you think casual. Now, I don't want to belabor something. Just how we wear, the clothing we wear, the shoes that we wear, how we walk, how we sit, how we respond to each other. Because walk is a reflection of who that person is. Your walk tells us who you are. There's no other way. The people of the world, they know who we are by our walk. So may the Lord help us. Now, I hope it's not that heavy, but it's very essential. Very essential. And I just want to, one more encouraging word. With God is impossible. I mean, with man is impossible. With God, nothing is what is impossible. Remember, this walk, naturally with us, no one can do it. But with God, nothing is impossible. So that's where faith comes in. Now, I was hoping that Dana last message on the currency to redeem time, all that. But he didn't come to that strongly. But we know that currency is faith. Faith is appropriating all that God promises us and making real to us. Faith. Substantiating. Make what's spiritual real in us. Unseen real in our lives. It's by faith and obedience in no other way. And this morning, devotional material, if there's no obedience, there is no further what? Light or revelation. You're stuck where you are. There's no spiritual growth. And through obedience, we come to a fuller knowledge of who God really is. So may the Lord be gracious to all of us.
finally, what I say to you, I say it first to myself. You have much to learn. I also have much to learn. We are in the school of Christ together. So when you see me walk in truth, you're encouraged. When I see you walk in truth, I'm encouraged. Then we are here to encourage each other. And I just pray and hope next year, if we have a conference, we come back a different person. Because this past year, we learned to walk a little bit more like him. So next year when you come, you say, wow, is that him? Wow, is that her? Wow, what a difference. And God is able to do the impossible. Let's just read those few verses I shared the first evening. Luke chapter 1. I'll conclude with those few verses. I think I want to share this with you. It's part of my personal testimony. Don't think I'm here to teach you. My young brothers and sisters, I come to this conference to learn with you. And Brother Stephen Cohn, this past Richmond conference, touched many hearts. He said, I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to meditate together with you, God's word. So that's why I'm here, the Young People Conference, not to teach, but to sit back there and to learn with you. And what a privilege to be learners of Christ. Okay, now Luke chapter 1. Just those few verses. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse is 37. Okay, for with God nothing will be impossible. Don't forget that, my young brothers and sisters. Okay, that is the foundation of our faith. With God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary responds, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. And I share Wednesday evening the reason why angel departed, because Mary took it to heart. There's no need of further reminding. She took it. She meant it. She took it. But sometimes we take it. We took it, but we don't mean it. You see, but Mary meant it. And there's no further talking. Okay. And in verse 45, Blessed is she who believed, for this will be fulfilled of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, just one further thought. Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. It's very personal. Very personal. Now, young brothers and sisters, if you want to help each other, thank God for that concern, for that love, for that compassion. But the real help you can help your brothers and sisters is allow that word to fulfill in you first. And then the Lord will fulfill in them. That's how we help each other. Make it real in you first. And the Lord will make it real in those who you're concerned with. So Mary say, to me. Make it real to me. Make it real in me according to what you have spoken. And the Lord will fulfill it. Will fulfill it. So, my young brothers and sisters, we are learners. We are learners. If time is short, the days are evil, let's pray that we'll accelerate our learning process. Don't prolong it. Tomorrow is not yours. Now is yours. He that heareth the word, let him not harden his heart. Today is a day of salvation. Now, when today does not just refer to our initial salvation, but also the saving of our soul, so that we can follow him. Saving of our soul life is for following him. And so, the Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. It's so good to see many of you from other places, Vancouver, brothers and sisters. And finally, I want to thank the Lord for the young people in Toronto, for their labor of love, their many sacrifices. And may the Lord reward you richly. I want to thank workshop leaders
fellowship group leaders, and how we pray together. And I echo what Dana said. I never felt the body ministry so real until this conference. How the brothers and sisters, how those brothers, how we stand together with each other. I thank Dan and Richard, all these other brothers, Alan and Charlie and Ben and June, Brother Dale and Helen, all these brothers and sisters. Thank God we are not alone. We are together. And together we will make it by His mighty grace. So the Lord bless you, young brothers and sisters, richly. Don't forget, we begin our walk by listen carefully to the small voice within and obey. And that is overcoming. That is true living. That is a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for reminding us this word. I need it. We all need it. And make it real in our lives. Oh, have mercy on us. Lord, do it for your sake. Do it for your glory's sake. Help us all to obey. Not just obey, but obey willingly, knowing that's the way that's pleasing your sight. And through obeying, we are getting further light and giving further revelation. We come to a greater knowledge of who you are and a greater appreciation of who you are. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. As we depart from this camp, we pray that your presence will go with this one. Lord, hold on to us. Hold on to us until your work is done. And to you be all the glory in Christ's precious name. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Well, this is what we have witnessed this week. That it is one spirit who is leading in this conference. It is one Lord who is leading in this conference. When the brothers and sisters come together to plan this meeting, this conference, we don't call each other up to see what you're sharing. But there's a lot of seeking. There's a lot of praying. And we have witnessed ourselves how the Spirit has led each and every one of these meetings, from the morning devotions to the messages to the workshops, all these times, and how it is Him who put everything together. We praise God for that. We're looking at what Jim has shared with us, how we need to have that awareness, and when that light shows us, we need to lay down of ourselves and obey. We hear Dana talk about time and how that needs to be redeemed, how the enemy robs us of our time. And did you feel angry when you heard that the enemy has somehow robbed us of time? I hope we do. There's that anger, righteous anger, to claim something back for the Lord. Whether it's through witnessing, whether it's through just the everyday obedience that we have, we need to redeem that time. It's so practical what we've heard this week. I'm looking at the workshops, and when we're walking individually, how we need to subject ourselves to the Spirit, how we need to have that spirit of discernment. When we're in the family, God's purpose for marriage, how beautiful that is when that comes together. When we obey our parents in the Lord, how beautiful that is in the family. When we're walking together, we need to learn how to forgive one another, just as the Lord has forgiven us. When we come together to assemble together, that's God's command. And how we need to remember these things as we come together. We don't know if we will have a conference next year, but we can start praying about it. We can start looking to the will of God to see if, who knows, maybe He will already be back and we will all be up in heaven by then. That would be glorious. But if we're still here, and if the Lord wills, we want to seek for Him for another conference next year. So maybe you can remember that in your prayers. I just wanted to share one more verse from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We want to take what we've heard this week, we want to take them home, and we want to obey. When the opportunities come, we want to be prepared, and we want to seize those opportunities. So may the Lord really give us that grace, and really give us that willing heart to not quench the Spirit, to really listen to Him. Wherever He leads us, we will follow. We just end with one final prayer. Dear Lord, we do want to come together, Lord. We want to come together to praise you, Lord. We want to come together to worship you. We want to thank you for your presence with us this week. Lord, we know that it is one Lord, one Spirit, and one Father who has been leading us in this time. For that, Lord, we praise you, Lord. Lord, everything that we've heard this week, everything from our devotion times, Lord, our discussion group times, workshops, and messages, Lord, may we all keep those in our hearts, Lord. Keep your words close in our hearts. Lord, we want to abide in you. Lord, we thank you that you're the same God, Lord, one Lord, wherever we are. And Lord, we do pray that what we've heard, Lord, would be lived out, Lord, that we would work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord, because you're worthy, Lord. Lord, may all things be summed up in you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Sing the discipleship song.
Christ is formed in me and strained by his mercy.